Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been cold here, got down 30 below wind chill here early in the week, starting to warm up a little bit now. They're forecasting more snow for Monday, Tuesday night. That's all you need to know to start a conversation in my town. You walk into the Chatterbox Cafe, you put all that together, you walk in, even if they don't know you, you say, I don't know about this forecast of snow here. I don't know, it's been a very strange winter, if you ask me, and you get a conversation started. And if you really want to get on people's good side, you toss out a little slander against the state of Florida or something. You say, we went down to Florida, me and the missus said, about 2-3 years ago, 7 straight days of rain, cold rain, lizards falling out of the trees. I tell you, you couldn't go out for a walk, pay $200 a night for this basement dungeon, smell like somebody been storing potatoes there. And people will chime in there. You'll hear all sorts of stories, people's terrible experiences down in the tropics. No, people walking into shopping centers so air conditioned, so cold that elderly people became dormant and they lay there with their walkers on top of them, and they were helpless against attacks from small feral dogs and insects. You get people talking like that, you could walk around that crowd of people, you could lift their billfolds right out of their back pockets, you could open up that cash register, take whatever you want. No, it's what we talk about there in Lake Wobegon. This is the last weekend for fish houses out on the lake. They have to come in early next week, and people have been talking about that. There have been some talk about big parties taking place this weekend out on the lake. The constables, Gary and Leroy, heard rumors that people were selling liquor out there, and then they looked into it and found they were referring to bars, you know, like brownies, baked bars, coffee, cookie bars, baked products. Wrongdoing, much overestimated in my town. It's been that way for years and years. You think maybe something's going to happen, and nothing does. And that's why I never developed my literary career the way it could have developed, because I never saw murder in my town. Never saw it whatsoever. I saw women who fed their husbands enormous meals full of fat and carbohydrates, and the men died of heart attacks, but, you know, it took years. It took years and years. The Tala Roads girl is home. Was home last weekend briefly from St. Olaf College. Corinne came home. She's a junior down at St. Olaf. She came home and she slept 18 hours straight, and she ate 2 pizzas, and she seems to be doing well down at St. Olaf. It's very intense down there. She's a little irked that they try to get her into the Asian Students Club. She is Korean, but I mean, she came over when she was 2 months old, and so she considers herself one of us and not that Korean. I mean, she's not good at math, and she, you know, doesn't play violin or cello. She plays a guitar. She sings cowboy songs. She had a good day on Sunday. She went out and helped her father, Dwayne, who was cutting down dead trees, because they've gone through that enormous mountain of wood. They're trying to heat the house just with wood heat, and they've almost used up all of their fuel here, and it's not even March yet. He cut down some dead trees, and he brought out the splitter, and she got to operate that. It was great fun for a history major to bust up things and to lay the logs in. Horizontal cradle there, and it's a hydraulic that runs off a 4-horsepower engine, and you lay down that log, and you pull that lever, and ka-wank, ka-chunk, 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 and you split it into kindling. It's very, very satisfying. You know, kind of makes you wonder about the liberal arts and if you really if you really belong there or not. Back in the day, she also used to run a manure spreader, and she got a lot of pleasure out of that, which is more like the liberal arts, but she She had a good weekend at home, and then she went back to St. Olaf College. The Hanson's dog got hit again. This is their big black Labrador. He's obsessed with cars. He came dashing out of the ditch where he conceals himself, and Marjorie was driving by, and the dog just came at her at an angle, this big black Labrador, and he bounced off the front. She swerved, but he bounced off the front fender. He was not injured, but, you know, you get tired of running into a dog somehow. They're not sure what to do about him. He seems to be obsessed. They got this invisible fence and with a little collar, you know, so when he crosses the invisible barrier, it triggers the collar, which delivers an electrical shock, which actually he seems to enjoy. They've seen him walk towards that invisible fence and pause and then plunge through it and tremble with pleasure. So masochism seems to be the dog's problem, and they took him to a vet, and he prescribed Prozac, and so Mrs. Hanson now has to stick this way down his throat every morning. The dog hates to swallow this enormous horse pill, but he takes it, and the Prozac has somehow led to weight gain, and he's become this big flabby dog, but he's still chasing cars, and they're afraid that he might suffer a heart attack, and so they bought this treadmill for him, and they keep it down in the basement, and they tie his leash to the post there, and they set the incline, and he, you know, runs for 15, 20 minutes trying to keep the weight off, which they hope nobody in town will find out about. Both of them grew up on farms. Both of them go back to the day when dogs slept in the barn and you put a bowl of scraps out for them once a day, and otherwise they guarded the place and they never came into the house and they just minded their own business. Having a dog who's on medication and who has a gym, a workout room in the basement is a very long way to go for Mr. and Mrs. Hanson. The Lenten services in Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church are on Wednesday evening. Supper is at 6, and the Lenten service is at 7:15. The Lenten services are being taken by lay members of the church who are giving the sermon, brief sermons, you know, 5-10 minutes, and stories from personal experience, all having to do with the theme of Lent this year, which is the verse from Matthew, where Jesus says, "Whatsoever ye do unto the least of my brethren, ye do unto me," which is an excellent verse, but it's a terrible topic for a story because it always winds up in somebody telling this story about themselves and how they did this good deed for this old wino in a train station somewhere and what they learned from this and how they've put away the sin of pride ever so often. I mean, it's a verse that leads to bragging and not a very seemly sort of bragging either. And you just wince to think of having to listen to all of these stories about small righteous deeds done to unfortunate people, and makes you think of maybe going into law enforcement where we don't necessarily look on winos as Christ-like. Maybe just because they're really hard to get along with, drunks. They just are. That's the fact of the matter. We know this from long, painful experience in Lake Wobegon. Cindy Headland has been back. People are talking about her this week. Roger Headland, you know, died last summer on his tractor. He had a heart attack, and the tractor just went around in circles, and she went out. She found him there holding onto the wheel. He had died of a heart attack. And so people asked her, you know, after that. She was still around. She was busy. She's an event planner. She's got a business. And they asked, you know, "How are you doing?" And she said, "Fine," which is how we deal with grief in Lake Wobegon. We pretend that it doesn't exist, and you know, people ask you how you're doing, you say fine. And eventually you are doing fine because you're just tired of whatever you're going through. And so she met this guy online. Is this a long enough time, we wonder, since last summer? She met this guy online on a website for people who've lost their spouses and who want to comfort each other, called Partners Without Partners. And she met him, and he's from Texas, and his name is Clay. This was the week that she brought him up to introduce him around. She brought him into the Chatterbox Cafe. Darlene said hello, tried to avert her eyes, looking at this big, tall guy, cowboy shirt, and his jeans with a crease, you know, and cowboy boots, very clean. She could see his pickup out front, very expensive pickup, and with a crew cab and everything, and didn't look like he'd ever driven it in dirt whatsoever. He's a rancher. He has a 50-acre ranch, which doesn't seem big enough to be called a ranch unless you're ranching turtles or what. He came in. He sat down, big mustache and, you know, two-tone shades. And there was Cindy next to him with her arm around him. He ordered a hamburger, and Darlene brought him a hamburger. And after a minute, she came around to ask how it was. And he said, well, if you want to see a real hamburger, you got to come down to Houston, Texas. We make them 3/4 of a pound, and we put blue cheese in them and barbecue sauce and raw onions as well. That's what I would call a hamburger. This is not bad for what it is. And a minute later, without anybody asking him, he said to nobody in particular, he said, I don't understand how you people can live up here in this cold. It just goes right through you. This man came and insulted our food and insulted our home in 2 minutes. And he was thoroughly despised from that moment on. People did not want to talk to him. She took him around, and people were polite in a very terse, thin-lipped way. She took him down to the sidetrack tap. She told Darlene, he's a wonderful dancer. Well, fine. Enjoy the dance. You go right ahead. Took him down to the sidetrack tap, and they sat down at the bar, and Clay asked Wally for a kamikaze and a cosmopolitan. And Wally was looking around for a recipe book, and Clay said, well, here, I'll make them myself. And he came around behind the bar without, by your leave, he came around and he found the vodka and he said, you got some triple sec? And yeah, Wally had some down in the basement. He went down, got the triple sec, he got some lime juice, he got some cranberry juice for the cosmopolitan. And he made these drinks, fruit drinks, with vodka. The very thing we don't drink in Lake Wobegon because it doesn't taste like alcohol, it tastes like fruit. And you can sit and drink this stuff, drink after drink after drink, and you bring yourself to the point where the phone rings and you are telling intimate secrets of your marriage to a telemarketer somewhere. We don't go for that. He put money in the jukebox and the two of them got up to dance, and he put his arms around Cindy and he reached down and he grabbed her butt with both hands. And there were 4 men in that bar who knew Roger very well, and they almost got up and kicked him. They just wanted to in the worst way. This is not going to turn out well. This is just not going to turn out well. There are bad people in this world. She's going to sell that farm. She's going to take all that money down to Texas, the money that Roger worked so hard to earn. She's going to take it down there and reap the whirlwind. I tell you, life is hard. It could make you really sad if you stop to think about it. So don't, I say. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.